This is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. We are crazy passionate about building leaders, and I couldn't be more excited about this episode and next month. Today, we're going to talk about part one on a subject that I think can really impact your leadership and your organization. If you're new with us, I'd love to invite you to subscribe to this podcast. Then every first Thursday of the month, there'll be a new one drop. If you have a moment to rate this podcast or write a review on it, that's very, very helpful. And I just want to say a very sincere thank you to those of you who are sharing this on social media, inviting other team members to listen or to watch with you. I'm going to do my best to bring you high-quality content, and when you invite others, it really does mean a lot to me. If you would like to receive show notes, we'll send detailed notes to you every single month. You can just go to life.church/leadership podcast. You can give us your email, and then we'll send those to you every single month before the podcast drops. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, email anytime at leadership@life.church. Let's dive into some new content for this episode, part one. What I want to do is talk about a vital subject for all leaders. This is a challenging topic that's rarely ever discussed, and it's one of the most important tools that we can have as a leader to build our organization. In all of the conferences that I've been to, I have never heard a direct talk on this subject. I've read extensively on leadership and organizational development, and I've only found one book that talks at length about this subject. I tried to research it online. There's a little bit written about it. It's very academic, often difficult to understand. The technical term for this idea is not interesting. The technical title probably won't make you say, oh my gosh, I can't wait to listen to this, but it's more important than I have the ability to express. The title for this podcast is Investing Your Resources the Right Way. Investing your resources the right way. The technical term for this idea is resource allocation or asset allocation. What is resource allocation? Let's make it really, really simple and let's define the two words. What is a resource? A resource is going to be the time, the money, the material, the staff, the assets you have to build your organization. It's everything from the cash on hand to the assets you can borrow against, your team, perhaps your volunteers, the energy that you have, any tool at your disposal to reach your goals. What does it mean to allocate? You know this, it means to direct or to distribute. So therefore, what is resource allocation? This is the definition that I made up for this. Resource allocation is investing your available resources in the present to accomplish your goals and objectives in the future. Let's say it again and internalize it. We want to understand it, believe in it, and live this. Resource allocation is investing your available resources in the present to accomplish your goals and objectives in the future. Margaret Rouse defined this idea this way. She said, resource allocation involves balancing competing needs and priorities and determining the most effective course of action in order to maximize the effective use of limited resources and gain the best return on investment. I like the way she says it's balancing competing needs and priorities, because we as leaders have to answer the question, how do we distribute our limited resources amongst competing groups of programs, ideas, and opportunities? We only have so much time, so much manpower, so much money, so much energy, so many different places to put it. How do we put it in the right places to get the best return? I want to talk about this not just in our businesses or nonprofits, but also just how do we lead our families? Think about this. In your family, how do we balance the competing priorities? You'd love to pay off your student loan debt, but you got a kid that needs braces. What do you do? You've got to balance and you got to determine where to put your resources. You want to spend Saturday organizing your garage because it's a mess, but your marriage is struggling and there's a marriage class available. Where do you invest your time? You'd love to veg out and binge watch Netflix, but you probably should work on your budget, or maybe you need to spend some time with your teenager. Where do you invest the assets, the resources, the time, the energy you have for the best return in your family. For those of you that are leading maybe a church, you might deal with these issues. Your worship pastor says we need HD video projectors. Your youth pastor needs money for a mission trip, and you want to add a second location. You cannot do it all. How do you balance? Where do you put your resources? For those of you in business, your marketing department wants to spend more on digital marketing. Your R&D wants to invest more in a product idea. Your IT department needs an equipment upgrade. Your HR director reminds you, if you don't expand your offices, you don't have the room to grow and bring in new people, and you want to expand regionally, what are you going to do? You've got so many opportunities, so many ideas, but limited resources. How do we invest our resources in the right places? So what I want to do is start by using a very common term, but using it more often in this context in discussion. For example, we often use the word spending or using. We're going to spend our time, or we're going to use this or whatever. What I want to do is replace those words as often as we can with the word investing. Investing. We're not going to spend or use, we're going to invest. How does this play out? Well, most leaders decide how to spend money. The best leaders agonize on how to invest money. Most leaders want to use people to get a desired result. The best leaders, though, invest in leaders, helping them get better, and ultimately the whole organization gets better. Most leaders spend their time doing tasks. The best leaders intentionally invest their time to achieve desired results. Investing, not spending or using. What do you do when you spend? When you spend, you're making an even trade. We're spending money for an experience. We're spending time for a result. The definition of spend is to use or to pay out. We're trading this for that. The definition of invest is to devote, expecting an exponential return. I don't want an even trade. I want to invest, and I want to get a better return back on my investment. This goes all the way down into our language. For example, let's say you have a budgeting meeting. Well, the title leads people to think, well, how are we going to spend our money in the upcoming year? Literally, you could change the name from a budgeting meeting to an investing meeting. Where are we going to invest our resources to get the highest return? Now, before we start allocating, before we start determining where resources go, let's talk about some things that we want to do. What do we want to do? The first thing, and this is very important, number one, is we want to clearly define your when, W-I-N. What is the when? Clearly define the when. What are we as an organization trying to accomplish? Because you cannot accomplish what you don't define. And we're not just talking about departmental wins, like what's the win for the marketing team or your HR team or your missions department. We're talking about whole organizational wins. If you do not know your when, you will spend your resources. If you do know the when, you can invest what you have in the right direction. We want the whole team investing for the when. What does defining the when do? Defining the when impacts what you do daily. Defining the when directs what you do daily. For example, in your home, your family, if the when is paying off the student loan debt, then instead of going out to dinner and out to a movie, you may stay home and eat in and watch TV instead, because the win directs your action. If the win is having dinner with your kids instead of working out in the evening, you might move your workout till 5:30 in the morning because the win directs your actions. If the win is taking your family on a vacation each year, you might drive an older car rather than upgrading because the win is directing your action. In your business, if you want to pay off 25% of your debt by the end of the year, you're going to make different decisions than if your when is to open 3 new store locations by July. What happens? The when directs our actions. Now, the when must be very, very, very clear. And I believe in many organizations, it's simply not. Let me give you some context to the organization that I lead. I currently lead an organization that has 27 churches in different cities. What is our win? Well, most people would say that our win, leading a church, is reaching more people. That's what most people would say, some version of that. And that is true, but it's incomplete. If our win is to reach more people, then that raises the question, well, how are we going to reach them? That's a more specific win. Are we going to reach them digitally, through social media, when they come into a physical church building, or is it reaching more homeless people and helping them have a better life? How do we reach the people? It also raises the question, who are we trying to reach? Is it everybody, or is it teenagers? Is it single parents? Is it people healing from substance abuse? Is it business leaders? Is it people from other countries that may not have been exposed to what we believe is a life-changing teaching? The win must be very, very, very clear. So in our model, and this is just my context, the best of what we do happens in local communities. When we start a local church, we impact the community locally. But then when we have multiple churches pulling our resources together, we can impact the world globally. So local strength makes for global impact. So therefore, people say, well, our win must be opening up more church locations. Again, true, but that's incomplete. The win must be very, 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 very clear. For example, in the upcoming year, we plan to open up 5 new church locations in 5 different states. Now, as a side note, and I want to just give me a minute to talk to pastors, the goal is never to start a number of churches. We're going to start 3 next year. We're going to start 20 by 2020. No. No, the goal is always to start the right ones. Never let a number drive you to do the wrong thing. Don't try to start 5 store locations. Start the right ones. For us, the right number is 5 for a lot of reasons I could go into, but I'm not. You don't let a numerical goal drive you to do the wrong thing. So we believe it's right for us to start 5 new churches in the upcoming year in 5 different states. So is that a clear win? Well, again, not quite yet. Because what if each of these churches only have maybe 200 people at each of them? In our model, we would be financially upside down. And so if I started a lot of churches that are financially upside down for a long time, eventually that boat doesn't float. So to be even more clear, maybe a win is to start 5 new churches in 5 different states that are financially covering the bills and having enough people to serve the community within a 6-month window. That's getting closer to being very, very clear on what a specific win is. You're going to need to really, really work hard to get drill down deep and define clearly what is a specific win. Maybe 2, 3, 4 wins. If you've got 10, you're never going to accomplish them. You want to be really narrow, really specific, and really focused. Clearly define your win. We have to start there. If that's my win, if I want to start this many churches that have the people engaged to make a difference in the community and are self-sufficient within a certain number of months, then I know approximately how many staff members we need to identify and to train. I know approximately how much money we need to get the buildings out of the ground. I know approximately how many church attenders we need to be serving and locally engaging the community. And then I have clarity on what to do with my time toward those results. So what happens? The when helps direct where we put our resources. So important. So simple, and yet so many organizations miss it. Start with clearly defining the when. The second thing we're going to do is this. Number one, clearly define the when. Number two, we want to take inventory of what you have to work with. Take inventory of what you have to work with. And don't limit your inventory to what is obvious. For example, again, I apologize for the multiple church examples, but this is my world. I was talking to a pastor who was telling me what he didn't have. All we have, we don't have much at all. All we have is 7 staff members. We only have a small building. Our budget's only about $400,000 a year. We spend it all. There's nothing left. And we don't have. I don't want it to sound like I don't have compassion for this pastor because I've been in that exact situation before, and so I know what it feels like. The problem is this pastor didn't realize everything that was available to him, and I tried to help point it out. One thing, just because he spends all the revenue that comes in doesn't mean that he couldn't redeploy some of what he spends into another place. He may be spending it all, but if he spent some in a different place, he might actually get a better return. He also has 24 hours a day. He's got time. If he reallocated his time into different places, he might get a different result. He also has 300 people who attend his church every week. That's an incredibly big potential volunteer pool of people who can use their gifts. He had a couple of leaders that are tremendous leaders in his church, some business leaders that he could learn from that could come and consult him and to help him become better. He has 52 weekends a year to influence these people to do even more than what they're doing. He sits on 4 acres of land, but he has 16 acres of undeveloped land in a prime location. This pastor has so much more than he realizes. The $400,000 of revenue, that's just what's coming in. It does not mean that more could come in if he would inspire his people toward a vision and teach on generosity. That's just what's coming in, but that's not all that's available if he changes his perspective. What do you have? You've got your time, you've got your energy, you've got your team members, you've got potentially volunteers. The bottom line is you have more to work with than you probably realize. We want to clearly define the when, and then we want to take an inventory of what we truly have to work with. Now, once we've done this, we've got the when, we've got a real inventory, then this is where it gets fun. We want to intentionally invest our resources in the direction of the desired result. We want to intentionally invest our resources in the direction of the desired results. We're investing available resources in the present to accomplish our goals in the future. Now, what do I know about what you want to accomplish? Almost all of you, I can assume you want growth in whatever area you're in. In business, you want growing revenue, growing market share, growing ministry impact, growing spiritual growth, whatever it is. So what we want to do is we want to invest our resources in the places that we believe have the highest potential for return. What has the highest potential return on investment? Now, let's not just think about money. Let's think about our time, incredibly valuable and limited resource. Knowing the when helps you direct your time. What you want to do is when you clearly know the when, then you can answer the question, what's the biggest win for my time today, this week, this month, this quarter? One of the first questions that I ask leaders that I admire is this. I ask them, what do you do that has the highest return on your time invested? And almost every great leader immediately has an answer for me. They say, oh, this is the best return on my time. An average leader goes, that's a really good question. I never thought of that. What you want to do is you want to clearly know where your time is best invested for the return that you want to define for your business or your nonprofit. Don't just think money. Don't just think time. Think talent. Where do we put our best people? And not just paid staff, but perhaps if you have volunteers, where do you put your best volunteers? Because all volunteer roles are not created equal. Sometimes you can redeploy talent into another place and have an incredibly high return. For some of you, moving a star player to a different role could make all the difference. So, what is a skill you want to focus on becoming great at? Resource allocation. We don't spend, we are investors. What are we doing? We're investing our available resources today to accomplish our goals and objectives tomorrow. Getting this right is one of the most important things you can do as a leader. Let's review, and then we're going to talk about application questions. What is resource allocation? It's investing your available resources in the present to accomplish your goals and objectives in the future. We're always balancing competing needs and priorities. So instead of spending or using, we are investing. Before we start, we must clearly define the when. You cannot accomplish what you cannot define. If you don't know the when, you'll spend your resources. If you know the when, you'll invest them in the right direction. Defining the when directs what you do daily. Number two, take inventory of what you have to work with. Don't limit your inventory to what is obvious. You've got time, energy, people, perhaps volunteers. You have more to work with than you realize. Once you've defined your when and taken inventory, then you're going to intentionally invest your resources in the direction of the desired result. What has the highest potential return on investment? That's the question you want to answer. We are different than most leaders. Most leaders decide how to spend money. We invest it. Most leaders want to use people to achieve their results. We invest in people. They become better. We all become better. Most leaders spend their time doing tasks. We intentionally invest our time to achieve results. What are we doing? We are investing intentionally investing our resources today to accomplish our goals and mission in the future. Application questions number one. What are your three biggest organizational wins? Drill down deep. Answering this question, let me be honest with you, it might take some time. It might take a retreat away, but you have to answer this question to be successful. You have to answer this question in order to align what you have in the right direction. If you don't do anything else in your leadership, clearly define what are your three biggest organizational wins. Number two, what current program, project, initiative, or leader has the highest potential return on investment? What current program, project, initiative, or leader has the highest potential return on investment? What are you going to do about it? Now, next month, we're going to go into more detail, really getting down the weeds on how we do this. We're going to get very, very practical. I want to say thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for getting the word out. Thank you for leading with integrity and passion. Above all else, as a leader, be yourself. I'll see you next month on the first Thursday. Be yourself, because people would rather follow a leader who is always real than one who's always right.
Thanks for tuning into the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast. If you'd like to dive deeper into this episode, find resources, or connect with Craig on social media, you can visit life.church/leadership podcast. You can also sign up to have those notes delivered straight to your inbox when a new episode releases. We love hearing your questions and your stories, and I know that Craig never gets tired of hearing how you guys are growing as leaders. So if you have a story to share, you can email him at leadership@life.church. If you live in the Austin, Texas, Denver, Colorado, or Lexington, Kentucky areas, Craig is coming to your city this month for the Catalyst One Day Conference. He'll be teaching along speakers like Dr. Henry Cloud, Lisa Turkers, Levi Lesko, and Chris Hodges. Go to catalystoneday.com to reserve your tickets today. If you love listening to this podcast, don't forget to rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. It's a little way to spread the word and to help others grow as leaders. Once again, thank you for joining us for the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast.